Calvary's mournful mountain climb, there adoring at his feet. Mark that miracle of time, God's own sacrifice complete. It is finished, hear him cry. Learn from Jesus how to die. Tetelestai, that's the Greek word in our text. It means it is finished. Over and out, complete. The fat lady has sung. Put him out of his misery. There's just a little bit of pie left. Somebody finish it off. Tetelestai. The end. Mission accomplished. Bullseye. Tetelestai. A cry from the cross. It is finished. Hear him cry. Learn from Jesus how to die. Seven last words of Jesus from the cross. St. Mark and St. Matthew have one of those words, phrases actually. My God, why have you forsaken me? A reference perhaps to the humanity of Christ. But even more than that, not just simply a human feature, if you will, of the feeling, the fear of being abandoned and forsaken, but the one, the Lamb of God, the only begotten Son of God, who always said, "It is written, it is written, it is written," was immersed in the Word of God, the Torah, the Scriptures of Israel. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? A lament. It's how we ended our service of worship last night. But the service of worship wasn't over. It continues today. And tomorrow, the next day, as St. John says, the next day, Jesus reveals not only his humanity, but I would say even more so his divinity. A lament psalm that ends in triumph. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. There is victory for God's chosen one, rejected and despised, wounded for our transgression. Now, St. Luke has three completely different last words of Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Words of absolution spoken to a mocking crowd who don't even ask for forgiveness. No repentance on their part, but absolution from the cross from Jesus Christ. A repentant thief. Remember me. Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. And knowing that all was now complete, Jesus then says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he breathes his last. St. John has three additional last words. Not found in Matthew and Mark, not found in St. Luke. The first one you heard tonight was a transaction of adoption from the cross. While he is in humiliation and suffering, he looks out and he sees his beloved disciple and he sees his mother Mary. Oh, I wept when I read that. Jesus says, Mother, behold your son. You're not alone. There's always someone with you. You have the body of Christ. You have the church. We're never alone. And to the beloved disciple, behold your mother. And from that day, he took her into his house and he cared for her. Those words of Christ from the cross in the midst of his crucifixion. And then to fulfill Scripture, I thirst. Remember John 4, when Jesus had to go through Samaria, Jacob's well, the village of Sychar? A woman, a Samaritan woman, a sinner. And Jesus says to her, I thirst. How is it that you, a man, a rabbi, O Lamb of God, thou sinless one, how is it that you ask me for a drink? And Jesus said to her, if you only knew who it was who was saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked, and he would give you living water. And then the final word from the cross, tetelestai. Not the period at the end of a sentence. Not, well, the fat lady has sung, so the opera is over. Not somebody finish off this last piece of pie or the last cookie in the cookie jar, but tetelestai, bullseye. Dead center on the target. Mission accomplished. Victory achieved, because he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tetelestai. God's victory, God's mission fully accomplished for you. And then some translations will say he breathed his last, but in John's gospel it literally says, and he handed over the Spirit. Pentecost in the Gospel of John begins on the cross when God breathes. The wind blows where it wills, Nicodemus. You hear the sound of it? You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. That's what happens when you're born again of the Spirit. Tetelestai. Closure? Everyone wants closure. I read a story this past week. The story began on May 29th, 1971. For 42 years, it's been a cold case. Two 17-year-old girls in the setting of graduation, and you know how when kids are getting ready to graduate and they'll oftentimes have these parties. This is in South Dakota. There was supposed to be a party near the gravel pit. And these two girls are driving a 1960 car. And all of a sudden, they don't show up at the party and they're never seen or heard from again. May 29th. 1971. The need for closure, for things to be wrapped up, to be able to bury a loved one. Well, last spring, 2013, there was a lot of rain in South Dakota, and that raised the creeks, and water was flowing. And then there was a huge drought. And it dried up all of these creeks. And then last fall, someone was out fishing, and they saw an upside-down vehicle. There was a tire, the wheel of the car, and the license plate showing. He reported it to the authorities, and it was the car that had gone missing, caked in mud. For 42 years, preserving everything inside, the remnants from May 29th, 1971. The car was found last fall on a Monday, 2 days after the one girl's father had died. A Miller girl, a Jackson girl. The Jackson girl's father died at age 102 on a Saturday, and on Monday, the vehicle was found, and it took a long time to get all the mud off of it. But recently, they were able to confirm so that the families could put it to bed, put it to rest, have some finality. The final nail in the coffin, the burial, if you will. We need that. And so we hear the passion story this day and we say, finally, it's over. Finally, we've got closure. Now we can get back to business as usual. Now we can move on. But if you've lost someone, there's never really closure. When my dad was killed, somebody said to me years later, "How did you get over that?" Get over it? You don't get over it. God carries you through it. Through it. On this Good Friday, God is carrying us through it, reminding us of tetelestai, that the plans of God, that the mission of God from the foundations of the earth are being completely perfected and finished, wrapped up in the divine mystery of our triune God who loves you. When Jesus hands over the Spirit, he's saying, "I love you." And we say, "Tetelestai." The year was 1892. A boy by the name of John Simpson, not Homer Simpson, not Bart Simpson, okay? John Simpson, born in the northeastern part of England. As he was growing up, he had a way with donkeys. A lot of times, donkeys can be kind of rebellious and disobedient, but they trusted him. They loved him. They did whatever he asked him, whatever he asked them to do. Well, John Simpson was working at the fairgrounds when he was a teenager. He was giving rides on donkeys to kids. And then at the age of 17, in 1910, he enlisted in the Merchant Marines. And then when they were in port in Australia, he deserted, bringing shame to himself and his family. 4 years later, 1914, World War I, he enlisted in Australia with the Australian Army. He became a field ambulance stretcher bearer, a field ambulance stretcher bearer. And he was a part of the Gallipoli invasion. If you know about that, it was an ill-fated invasion of New Zealand soldiers and Australian soldiers on the western coast of modern-day Turkey. A rugged terrain. And as they came, thousands of New Zealand and Australian soldiers were killed. John Simpson came off of one of those landing ships. The guy in front of him was shot and killed immediately. The guy behind him was shot and killed immediately. And because he knew what his job was, his calling, he went about his business. As they made their way forward, he continued as an ambulance, field ambulance stretcher bearer, to bring the wounded, to bring them back to the beach for medical care, rescuing them from harm's way. April 26, 1915, the second day, he found a donkey. And during the days ahead, he found additional donkeys that could aid him in this rescue mission. The trenches, if you read stories about like the Civil War, World War I, where Artis is back there by the windows, I mean, it was only 15 feet is how far you were from the enemy. When they talk about seeing the whites of their eyes, they meant that. And here is John Simpson doing his duty with the donkey, protecting the donkey from harm, putting his body in the way, 1.5 miles from the front lines back to the beach, rescuing one soldier after another, making that trip sometimes 12 to 15 times a day. And then maybe going to bed at 3:30 in the morning and getting up about 6:30 and doing it all over again. And people were mesmerized as they watched what this guy was doing as the bullets were flying. And a phrase started to circulate. Has the bloke with the donk, has he stopped one yet? Has the bloke with the donk stopped one yet? 23 days carrying out the mission, and then on May 19th, 1915, shot in the back and killed instantly. He carried more than 300 wounded soldiers from the front lines back to safety. Gallipoli Peninsula, where there's a burial ground, that's where John Simpson is buried. And there's a commemorative stone there that says, he gave his life so that others may live. On a Palm Passion Sunday, our Lord, to fulfill Scripture, rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, on the foaled, the colt, the foal of a donkey, and he dismounted by divine necessity for your redemption and mine. And on a Maundy Thursday, he gave a new mandatum, a commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. You call me teacher and Lord, and so I am. If I've washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And on a Good Friday cross, after being betrayed, deserted, and denied, he spoke those final words. It's over. It's finished. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Tetelestai. In the first century, the word tetelestai, or the Latin equivalent, consummatum est, means paid in full. You would find it on the tax receipts. Paid in full. The debt has been satisfied. Tetelestai. And when someone would bring a lamb for the Passover to the priest would inspect it. It had to be unblemished. And when the priest saw the lamb unblemished, he would say, Tetelestai, perfect. And when a master had a job to do, he would say to the servant, go and do it. And when the job was done, the servant would come back to the master. Mission accomplished. Well done, good and faithful servant. Tetelestai. And then it was over. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure that nothing in all of creation can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus your Lord. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. Greater love has no one than this, that a person lay down their life for a friend. And you are my friends. You are my lambs. And no one can snatch you out of my hands. Tetelestai. It was a green leafy branch. It was called hyssop. Not a reed, but a green leafy branch. And it had a sponge on it with vinegar wine, and they held it up to Jesus' mouth. Hyssop? Exodus 12? a paintbrush used to put the Passover lamb's blood on the doorpost and the lintels, so that when the angel of death saw the blood of the lamb, it passed over the homes of the redeemed. And then they speared him in his side, so that what was written might come true. Not a bone of the Passover lamb shall be broken. He hands over the spirit to Tetelestai. And then Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple, but secretly, and Nicodemus, the one who had come to Jesus at night, they wrapped his body in aloes. They anointed him and in linen shrouds. And then they placed him in a tomb, in a garden. The end. That's right, there's more. And on the third day, and on the third day, and on the third day, we're not talking about an epilogue or a sequel. God's word for you today is Tetelestai. It is finished. Amen.